Now, today we're starting a new series entitled The Tech-Wise People of God. And to let you know where we're going, it's going to be a four-part series. Today's message is going to be focused on a high-level awareness for the impact of technology and what it has on our lives. Week two, next week, we're going to get into the subject of addictions and other issues that are caused by the improper use of technology. Week three is going to talk about the technologies or the impact of technology on community. And then week four, where we're building and heading towards is creating kind of a game plan and healthy solutions for our way forward. So I want you to be engaged, you know, as we go through this four-week series. Now, a number of years ago, I took my family on a vacation during spring break to Gulf Shores, Alabama. Anybody been to Gulf Shores, Alabama here? Right? And if you've been there, it's like half of Grand Rapids is there, so it's not like you'd really get away from Grand Rapids. You're bumping into people from Grand Rapids all over the place. But on the drive, and I like to just go straight through. I like to drive, you know, 16 hours straight through. And when I'm driving straight through, right, middle of the night, I'll get a little tired at times. And every now and then I'll catch myself yawning and then just closing my eyes just for a second. And I'm like, wait a second, I better wake up or I'm going to end up in an accident. I need some sort of way to keep myself awake. And so I developed tricks over the years, like chewing gum to kind of just keep me awake, or waking up my wife, making sure we're talking during the driver when I get really tired to keep myself awake, or even sometimes singing out loud just to keep myself awake. Because if I don't use these tips, if I don't find a way to apply these kinds of tips, I'm going to end up in an accident. And the other thing I notice is when I'm driving, like on 65 through Alabama, you know, it's this long stretch, I'll go for hours where it's like after a couple hours I'll be thinking, what did I just drive through? I don't even know where I've been. Am I on the right road, right? And so what I've discovered is that my ability to manage the drive is directly tied to my awareness of the environment. Hear what I'm saying. My ability to manage the drive is directly tied to my awareness of the environment. Our ability to manage technology is directly tied to our awareness of the environment. How technology operates, what's the agendas, how does it interplay with human beings? Because if we're not aware of it, we're going to wake up 10 years from now thinking, what in the world just happened to me? How come I'm more anxious? How come I can't sleep? How come I'm angry all the time? So our ability to manage technology is directly tied to our awareness of the tech environment. And that's what we're going to focus on today. So the word to be tech-wise means we're going to be paying attention. We're going to be focused in terms of what's in the landscape. And today's message is entitled Awake. We need to wake up to the reality of what technology, how to use it in good ways, and also the impact on us and the pitfalls of it. So as I use the term technology, I want to be very clear. Because I can go in a lot of different directions with technology, but I'm trying to narrow it as much as possible to electronic devices like smartphones and laptops, etc., as well as mobile apps and social platforms. So that's kind of where I'm trying to kind of have us focused on those kind of aspects of technology. Now, I know it's kind of some different categories here, but the reality is, if we think about it, we're all using this stuff daily and for hours. So I think for that reason, it's important that we get a good study in terms of how to use this stuff, how to use it for good. Romans 12, verse 2 is the verse for the day. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now God's making it very clear that he's concerned with our spiritual development. He wants us to have a renewed mind in terms of how we approach life and things like technology. He does not want us to conform to the ways of the world, but he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so we approach these things from a different perspective. That way we can discern how to operate in this life, right? That way we can discern how to operate technology. So I want to provide a historical perspective to you in terms of these devices and social platforms that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. And I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, but just to give you a history of these devices. So smartphones, the whole idea of smartphone, the reason it's smart is because it's computing capability along with a mobile device. So it's marrying a phone, a mobile device, with computing power. That's what makes it smart. Now, if we look at the history of smartphones, and Owen's going to show on the screen a graph, which, you know, I select these graphs. Now, this is a great graph, but then I look at it, I say, oh my gosh, it's way too small for you to read. But basically, I'll just give you a quick overview of the landscape. It was really in the 90s when it started. Anybody remember the Palm Pilot, or that term Palm Pilot? Okay, I see some hands. Right, so that's where it kind of started. That was the first thing that started to hit the, you know, our landscape. And it was around 2000 when the BlackBerry came out. So I remember getting a BlackBerry for work, and it was like, man, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I can take it to my kids' sports events, and when there's a lull in the action, I can do some work and email, whatever. They call it a crackberry because it's like it was addicting. You're always on the thing. And then the whole landscape got revolutionized in 2007 with the iPhone. And so that's kind of a brief history of what's happened with the smartphone. Now, if we look at today in terms of the number of hours by generation or different age groups in terms of how these things are used, as we look at this next slide, you'll see some big differences in generation. And so this is hours per month, okay? But I'll break it down to you in terms of the first category is ages 18 through 24. And really what that amounts to is just under like 4 hours a day of mobile device usage, okay? If you go to the end of it, 65 plus, look at that. It's really about, you know, 1.75 hours per day. So a huge difference in terms of the two. And now let me show you the next slide. Let's look at the slide on TV consumption. Just the opposite. I mean, the younger age group, it's like 2 hours. You know, the older age group, the seniors, 7 hours and 24 minutes. I think we have a problem with seniors and watching TV. We talk about the younger generation. What about the seniors and all the time they're spending on TV? But seriously, look at the big difference in terms of the amount of usage between different age groups. Now, when we look at social media, and if Owen goes to the next slide, you'll see the history of that. Again, way too small for you to see. But basically, LinkedIn started in 2002. MySpace, anybody remember MySpace? That was the big thing. All right. Mike remembers MySpace. 2003, that was the big thing for a while. 2004 was Facebook, YouTube 2005, Twitter 2006, Tumblr 2007, Instagram and Pinterest 2010, Snapchat 2011, TikTok 2016. And if we look at the most popular social media platforms used today, you'll find that Facebook's number one in terms of active users, YouTube, Facebook Messenger, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, and Snapchat. So if we think about it, there's been this explosive development just over the last 10 years in terms of smartphone technology and social media platforms. The two have come together in the last 10 years unlike any other time. It's just exploded. And today you'll find that 96% of Americans have a cell phone, and of that group, 81% of all Americans have a smartphone. And that's up from 35% in 2011. So think about it. It's like in the last 10 years, it has just exploded in terms of our usage and how social media and smartphone usage come together. We're accessing, we're posting, we're commenting unlike any other time in our history. It's been said that how we use these tools is like a mirror. It reflects what's on our hearts and minds. And so for that reason, we need to take a close look at how we operate in this world. Now, this series is going to be a little bit different from the norm. We're going to ask you to be engaged in ways unlike other times. We want you engaged in the next 4 weeks through this series. And so we're going to give you some tools to kind of help you with that. We're going to ask you to play an active role in assessing, observing your own behavior. And at the end of the day, when we come back, you know, 3 weeks from now, we want you to create your personal game plan for success when it comes to managing these tools and platforms. Amen? So that's where we're headed. I'm using the term tech-wise. I'm taking it from the book, from Andy Crouch's book, The Tech-Wise Family. So I'd encourage you, if you ever have, you know, get the book or listen to it on Audible or whatever, but it's coming from the TechWise family. And I like the term because it conveys the idea, not that we're going to reject technology, nor are we going to be, you know, treat it like a god, but we need to use it in wise ways. And Crouch says that the technology is in its proper place only when we use it with intention and care. And that's point number one. We keep technology in its proper place by using it with intention and care. Crouch goes on to say, if there's one thing I've discovered about technology, it doesn't stay in its proper place on its own. In other words, we gotta manage it, we gotta steward it, or can quickly go in directions that affect us in a not so good way. Now, I want to be clear, electronic devices, social platforms, they're not good or bad, right? They're tools. They're tools to communicate. They're tools in terms of to share information. But like eating food, if we don't keep it in its proper place, it can land us in a not so good place. Technology, in a sense, is neutral. It's what we do with it that makes it good or bad. We can use it to access porn, or we can use it to promote the gospel. We can use it to criticize someone we dislike or hate, or we can use it to encourage someone who's struggling. People, churches, all react differently to it. Generations, as we've seen, react differently to it. Seniors react differently. But I'll say, even within generations, there's differences, right? There's some seniors who totally reject it, and there's some that totally embrace it. I had a father that fully embraced technology, and he was always learning, using, and finding ways to adapt to it. And what I learned is that regardless of who you are, it's all about our mindset, right? So whether you're a senior citizen or a senior in high school, how you navigate life, how you navigate technology is all about mindset. And for this reason, God instructs us about the mind, and he tells us with our verse for the day. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Colossians, we see the message, the verse, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So regardless of our age, regardless of our generation, mindset plays a huge role. God wants us to use technology from a transformed perspective, a different lens, because it's our minds that guide us throughout life. So to kind of help us or help you think through where you are, I'm going to just have Owen show on the screen a little scale here, a little continuum. So on the one hand, if we look at these things, you have those that totally avoid them, and then you have on the other side those that overuse them. There's the technophobes, those are people who are afraid of it, and the technophiles, those are people who love it, people who denigrate it, and people who idolize it. And I'd like you to think about, where are you on that spectrum? You know, are you in one direction or the other? Where are you? Just think about it for a second. And I'd like to suggest that where it's probably best for us is to be somewhere in the middle. And if we look at the next slide, and basically, if you put overuse to the far end, you'll see that there's kind of some brackets in the middle. The point is, we want to be aiming, there's a sweet spot there somewhere in terms of how we manage it. Because if we move too far to the left, right, it's like we get out of touch and we're missing out on opportunities to really use technology for good. I mean, there's some great uses of technology. If we move too far to the right, we can get addicted. It can become an idol. It can become a god. So God is wanting us to discern together, to discern together. In Proverbs 17, verse 24, he says, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. First Thessalonians says, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. We need to test, we need to discern, we need to pursue the good. So I'd like you to help us, help me, help us here discern between the good and bad usage of technology. So Owen's going to put on the screen, again, just kind of a question here in terms of these things. I would like those that are 13 to 19 to raise your hand. If you're 13 to 19, okay, like the teenager, okay. What do you see as being good uses of technology? So it's time to just shout it out. What do you like about technology? Someone speak it out loud so we can hear. I know we got masks on here, so. All right, so you can connect to people who are far away. Anything else that this generation sees as being real positive about the technology today? Information. Yeah, let me open up to everybody. I think people are a little shy today, but what is, you know, information? What else is good about it? Just the whole, everybody here. Entertain, you know, media, phone, Robert, or music. Go ahead. Great for business, right? Businesses use it. Research. Education. Kevin. No need for a computer. It's fast, instantaneous. That's what I love about it, especially from a work standpoint. Boy, you can get things done and you don't have to get bogged down. There's a lot of good uses of technology. Now, if we look at the flip side, the not so good, those that are teenagers, I want you to be a little bit more bold now. What would you say are some of the not so good uses of technology? Sorry, what? Comparison, right? We compare each. It just makes us think about, oh, this person's doing this. And it just kind of has us thinking about yourself. What else was said over here? We don't get outside. We're on our devices. In fact, that's what most people find today, is that this generation, the first thing they do when they come home is what? They go to their mobile devices, right? They're not outside as much. What else, so the rest of the congregation here, what else is not so good about it that you've learned over the years? Expensive. Easy to make purchases. That can be real expensive. Amazon Prime is a killer for me. In the back? Early exposure to things that maybe they shouldn't be exposed to, right? People are exposing themselves on these devices. There's addiction that occurs. There's all kinds of things that, like I said, they call the BlackBerry the crackberry. It's like you just on it all the time. So God has called us to discern between the good and the not so good. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, he says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. We can spend all day immersed in technology, but is it beneficial? We can spend all day avoiding technology, but is it beneficial? God is asking us to discern between the two. And so in Proverbs 21:5, he says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. God wants us to develop a plan for how to use technology and not be hasty in our ways where we just react to it. So point number two is, God wants us to develop a tech strategy that is good for us and good for others. God wants us to develop a tech strategy that's good for us and good for others. We can choose to react to it, or we can choose to be proactive with it. Some have chosen to shut down Facebook accounts. Others have chosen to just use it selectively. So we've got to discern, which is why, again, we use the term tech-wise people of God. Be wise with how we interact with it. The other thing we need to understand is that as social creatures, we are easily influenced. So whether it's what happened way back in time in Nazi Germany, or what happens when things go viral, right? It's like the latest viral craze. We're easily influenced by the crowd. And so we've got to choose It's become influenced as a people. And as an example of this, I'm going to show a couple graphs. This graph right here, and again, you may not be able to see it well, but it basically what it's saying is it's the U.S. hospital admission for non-fatal self-harm. This is for females in the teenage years. And what it basically is showing is that for those of the younger teen population, those that are between the ages of 10 to 14, there's been an increase in 189% in terms of self-harm, things like cutting, things like that. It also shows that with the older group, 15 to 19, it's like a 62% increase. Okay, there's something that's going on in the last 10 years that have caused this to skyrocket. And again, there's a lot of factors at play here. Go to the next slide. If we look at this, this has to do with teen suicide, female teen suicide rates, and we see something similar here. The older teens, it's up 70%. The younger teens, it's up 151%, right? And so there's a social psychologist who was speaking to this, and he says, yes, there are a lot of things at play here, but a lot of this has to do with the advent of social media on mobile devices starting 10 years ago in terms of what we're exposed to. And so this social psychologist, his name is Jonathan Haidt, says there's been a gigantic increase in depression and anxiety for American teenagers, which began right around between 2011 and 2013. A whole generation is more anxious, more depressed, and more fragile. And they're much less comfortable taking risks. What he's noticing is when it comes to getting a driver's license or going out on a date, it's happening less frequently. I spoke to a teenage girl the other day who I know, 16 years old, and she was telling me that she decided to just kind of shut down her Facebook account because she was finding that it was just leading to way too much anxiety in her life. And she had a situation where some of her so-called friends found out that she was of a certain political affiliation. Immediately, they unfriended her. I mean, this is the stuff that goes on. She's not even posting any content, but it's like, oh, you're that, so we're going to unfriend you. So think about what that does to us in terms of anxiety levels. And when I think about this, you know, the question is, why does this happen? What's part of the issue? Well, everybody's in everyone's business, right? So there's a lot of posing and there's a lot of comparison that's going on. And comparison's going to steal your joy. It all affects us, right? What we're seeing, what we're exposed to, likes, dislikes, you know, comments, etc. It affects us and will steal our joy. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, is this stuff making us healthier or is it making us unhealthy in some ways? Seriously, that's the question we got to ask. When we're on this stuff, is it making us healthy or not so healthy? Now, what I want you to understand, what's important to understand, is that when God created this earth, he created it to be good, right? He created the world to be good. He created you and I to be good. And so when he created the land and the seas and the moon and the sun and the daylight and the nighttime, he said, it is good. And he said, when mankind was created and looked back on creation, he said, it is very good. So when God created the earth, he created it in a direction that was headed very positively, right? It was all good. And we learn in Genesis 1, 27 to 28, says, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You and I have been created with a purpose. Our overarching purpose is to be like God, to be God's image bearers, to represent him wherever we go. You know, LG's tagline is what? It's life's good. God's tagline since the beginning of the time has been live good. Live good, God's tagline. He wants us to live in good ways. He's calling us to take care of, to cultivate, to make good out of whatever we're doing, whether we're running a business, we're running a home or a family, or whether it's a hobby we're developing, or it's technology. We're to do it in ways that are good. So if you're on Facebook, you want to use it in ways that promote positive messages. If you're surfing YouTube, you want to use it in ways that accessing good content, maybe developing a hobby like playing the guitar, whatever. There's some great uses of technology. But in essence, God is calling all of us to cultivate, to take care of, to use technology in a good way. And so point number three is God created us to be good stewards of technology. God created us to be good stewards of technology. Now, shortly after God created the world, we have the fall of mankind, right? We have Adam and Eve who sin, and ever since that time, you know, if you look at this chart a little bit, you know, creation's kind of heading on an arrow that's going upward. The fall, sin pulls it back. So all this good stuff that we have today, we can look at it and notice some of the bad stuff that's happening. It's all because of sin. It's kind of pulling creation off in a bad way. But when Jesus Christ came to redeem and restore this world, so it moves it back. It moves it back in a more positive way. So on, if you show the next slide, you'll see that the whole purpose of redemption is to restore what's been broken. So when it comes to you and I, whatever we're doing as a follower of Jesus, it's to restore what's been broken. We're called to look at all the things we're involved in and figure out how do we restore it, how do we make good use out of what we're involved in, including technology. Now, part of being tech-wise is understanding these tools. And as I said earlier, part of it is understanding the agenda that's going on. And the truth is, any company, I work for a company, everybody has an agenda. Companies have agendas. Social media companies have agendas. And so I'm going to show a video clip, which I normally don't do this. I don't typically like to do this because it breaks the flow of the message. But because of the gravity of this topic, I think this is worthwhile. This is going to be an interview with the director of the film, The Social Dilemma, as well as Tristan Harris, who also speaks on this. And so those online, we can't play the video, but you'll hear the audio portion. So please listen to this. This is a fairly long, about 7 minutes, but please pay attention because there's a lot of great insights that are being offered here.
Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're addicted to social media. Chances are you're not that far off.
It's true. The new Netflix documentary, it's called The Social Dilemma, looks at how information collected online may be used to influence our actions in real life. The film's director and one of its insiders joins us in a moment. But first, a look at the doc that's getting huge buzz.
Despite social distancing, it seems we're more connected than ever through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the ever-growing list of apps built to keep us together. Almost 80% of Americans, about 247 million people, are on social media, providing these sites with personal data, whether users know it or not.
Everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked, is being measured. Exactly what image you stop and look at, for how long you look at it. Oh yeah, seriously, for how long you look at it.
We want them to keep doing this with their finger.
In a new Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, former Google design ethicist Tristan Harris says the companies behind our social feeds are preying on us by nurturing our addiction through persuasive technology.
It's not enough that you use the product consciously. I want to dig down deeper into the brainstem and implant inside of you an unconscious habit.
But could our lives online create a bubble of digital dependence that leads to something more dangerous?
A lot of people think Google's just a search box and Facebook's just a place to see what my friends are doing. What they don't realize is there's entire teams of engineers whose job is to use your psychology against you.
Joining us now is the director of The Social Dilemma, Jeff Orlowski, and former Google employee Tristan Harris. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, this documentary, The Social Dilemma, has gone totally viral. Here's the thing. Do you think it's ironic that people are discussing the film, raving about it, on the very social media platforms it warns against?
Absolutely. I just love, there have been so many people posting on TikTok, like these extremely ironic things, just recognizing that this has become our new public square. This has become where people talk and have conversations. So is it ironic? Absolutely. We're trying to lean into that and continue to have the conversation on those platforms.
So we reached out to Facebook for comment in a statement. They said in part, they agree that we need to have serious conversations about the impact of social media, but that the film, quote, gives a distorted view of how social media platforms work to create a convenient scapegoat for what are difficult and complex societal problems. Tristan, what do you have to say to that?
Yeah, you know, I think what social media companies have been saying to us is that we're just holding up a mirror to society, right? Mm-hmm. If you have polarization, if you have division, those are your problems, and we're just holding up a mirror. But the problem is that these companies profit from further division. Because imagine there's a Facebook feed, and one Facebook feed gives you an affirmation feed that confirms your view of reality. And they have another feed that gives you challenging views of reality. Each thing you scroll, it says, well, maybe it's different than how you think. Which one of those two feeds is going to be better at keeping your attention, which is their business model, the one that affirms your view of reality? And so it takes our shared truth and puts it through a paper shredder that puts us into all these narrower and narrower and more extreme views of reality, which is really damaging our country. Because if we can't agree on what's true, everything else falls apart. And this is the most critical thing in the film.
You just used the phrase shared truth. It brings me to my next question, Jeff. So many kids right now are online doing virtual school, including my own. Let's say, for example, they're researching a controversial moment in history, like dictators or conspiracy theories. Will that affect the information that gets recommended to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's hard for us to know all the nuance of what's going on with these algorithms, in large part because they are these private algorithms driven by these private companies. But what we do know is that the responses are based on the profile that is created of us. An example we use in the film is around this phrase, climate change is. And if you search the phrase climate change is in Google, you will get different answers based on who you are. There's an amazing book called Algorithms of Oppression that came out as well that is about how we see the same patterns within the racist constructs that exist on the internet. And so the algorithms are going to give you these personalized views, these personalized responses based on who you are with no real sense of an objective truth.
Wow.
Well, so here's a question. Do we need to, if we delete social media, like I keep telling my kids, just go to the library. Stuff. Is it really realistic?
Well, in my mind, we have created these platforms in a way where we are all, like, we've all gotten sucked into them. And we are using them in many unconscious ways and just kind of passive ways. One of our subjects said they've separated our intention from our attention and kind of hijacked our attention and taken us away from what we are really intending to do. I personally have removed myself from these platforms. Over the course of making this film, I've completely stopped using social media, and I don't feel any loss in life. I don't feel disconnected. I'm, in fact, engaging with my friends and family through things like FaceTime or Zoom all the more, especially during COVID. But I'm not using the platforms that have a different business model, that have ulterior motives, that are trying to manipulate my time and attention. There's a line in the film, if you aren't paying for the product, then you are the product. That is a real simplification of a really complex set of issues. But I find that's the easiest way to think through, is this serving my interests? Is this designed for me? Is this helping me with what I want to accomplish in life?
So is there a happy medium? Like, I can't even tell myself that I'll give up my phones, right? Whether we're on Twitter, social media, whatever it is. What can we do? I mean, you hear about taking the cookies off. It just seems like, obviously, this is way bigger than that. Is there any one thing that we can all do to protect ourselves?
My biggest hope personally is that the film creates a new shared reality about the breakdown of our shared reality. And the biggest thing we can do to put reality back together again is to have everybody do a screening of the film. We're seeing schools do a whole screening where their whole school comes together, or families who can't talk to each other. You watch the film together, and then you actually open up Facebook on two phones, if you both use Facebook, and you do a reality swap. You actually hand them your Facebook feed and then scroll through their feed for a little bit, and you'll see, oh, this is why they believe the things that they're believing, because that's the information that they're getting. And I think this is so invisible to us because it's so every day, and we're now 10 years into this mass hypnosis psychology experiment where it has fragmented our reality into these different things. And that's the thing that gives me the most hope, and I'm hearing from families and parents saying, this is the first time I'm able to talk to my kids about, you know, our use of technology and what's really healthy.
Let's have the discussion. That's fascinating. All right, guys, let's swap phones during the commercial break. I should say, Tristan, we reached out to your former employer, Google, for comment, and we did not hear back. Jeff, Tristan, thank you so much for talking with us this morning. People at home can make up their own minds and watch The Social Dilemma. It's streaming right now on Netflix.
It is, and I don't say this lightly, I would contend the most consequential documentary I have seen in the past 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
This echo chamber that has led to the tribalism that we have in our country, social media gave us the echo chamber, and they show you precisely how it's been done. It is mind-blowing.
Now, I want to be careful with this because people may have different opinions of this, but it is a complex subject, as they talked about. But I do think God is calling us to be aware, to be awake. Think about what he said. If you're not buying the product, you are the product. I mean, their goal is to keep you online as long as possible. And they sell advertising so that products get suggested to you, so those shoes or whatever is dangling on the right-hand side of the screen, you know, you go for it, so you buy it. And that's what just kind of keeps this model going. And so they're constantly suggesting things to you that they think you're going to like, so you stay on it longer and you buy more products. And I found it interesting that when a lot of these leaders who are in this film, who are former social media execs and employees, when they're asked the question, would they let their kids use some of these social platforms, they're like, no way. So these are people who are insiders are like, no way. I know what it does to them. I know what it does to them in terms of the anxiety that can be created, the increasing self-focus, the increasing polarization. Again, algorithms that monitor all your actions, again, are constantly suggesting information to you that kind of support your bias when it may be best for you to look at the other side. And so we need to be wise to it. We need to be thinking through this so that we're managing it rather than just reacting to it. On top of this, an MIT study found that lies spread 6 times faster than the truth. Lies spread 6 times faster than the truth. So a lot of stuff is going viral and get crazy or whatever. Who knows whether it's true or not? Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that all these social platforms are bad, okay? But what Tristan Harris and others are saying is that the model in some of these companies is designed to tie it into distraction and addiction. They say it's like they take the whole slot machine model. Where can they hit you with dopamine levels where you keep coming back? And so for that reason, we need to be wise for it, because what they're wanting is more clicks and more dollars spent on the advertising. That's how the model works. Now, the other thing is I don't want you to be thinking that we got to shut everything down, okay? Because you can just react to that, oh, we got to shut everything down. No, we just need to be discerning of what to shut down and what to use in better ways. And God is calling us to be discerning. He's calling us to be aware of, how is this forming us? How is this shaping us? Is it leading us to a healthier place, or is it leading us to more anxiety? Comparison steals our joy. And so we need to be thinking a little bit differently here. And Tabernacle's been promoting over the last several years this whole idea of spiritual formation and community formation and stewardship formation and witness formation. These 4 areas of formation that God desires us to grow in. And how we interact with technology impacts all 4 of these areas. That's why it's such a big topic for us to talk about. So we want to help you to become awake to these things, to observe, and then to create your own personal game plan for success and how to manage it going forward. We're not going to tell you how to do it. We're just going to throw some things at you and want you to observe and come up with your own game plan. I also want this series to inspire you. Seriously, I want it to inspire you. I don't want you to be running away from this stuff. I want you to be leaders in this whole area. It's like the whole television dilemma from the past generation. It was always like, all the time people or kids are spending on TV or whatever, you know, what's it doing to them, MTV, VH1, or whatever. The issue was not that we needed to eliminate television. The issue is that we needed great Christian, you know, screenwriters and good content that's being promoted to promote positive ideas and values. That's what's needed. And we have some of that happening. And from a viewership level, the issue is we need to be selective, knowing that what we take in does form us in certain ways. And the same thing is true when it comes to this subject. What we need, what I would love to see is the youth and those in their 20s and at any age really developing great content, great social platforms that can be used and inspire people in positive ways. So we don't want you running from this thing. We want you to be aware, discern, and figure out how do we use this in a positive way. Instagram has this photo filtering app. This photo filtering app that will touch up our complexion, right? It can tidy up that waist a little bit. It can do little things to just make us look better, right? It's got this filter, this photo filter. There's actually an app called Skinny Pics, which promises to kind of make you look like 15 pounds lighter. Now, don't write that down. Don't write that app down. Yeah, but that's their promise, you know, to make you look skinnier. But think about it. Think about how we're wired as human beings. In a sense, we want to be known in one hand. We want people to like us, which is why we're out there, etc. But on the other hand, we want to hide some of this stuff. We want to hide who we really are. We want to hide our flaws. We want to fix our flaws. We're created in a way we want to be known and loved and heard. But the reality is that we react to it by trying to hide and to fix and use these filters to fix who we really are. The message of the world is kind of like we can fix our flaws and we are able. But the message of the cross is we are flawed, but he is able, right? We are flawed, but he is able. So what God is calling you and me to do is we don't need photo filters. We need the Jesus filter, right? That's what he's given us, is Jesus to be that filter in our lives. So when it comes to the hurts, the disappointments, the pain, the struggles that we're going through, whatever's on our mind and hearts, we cry out to God, and God will restore us to a better place where we can be restored to look at these things and use these tools and technology in a much more positive way. We don't need a photo filter. We need a Jesus filter. Jesus Christ is our filter. He's our perfecter. He's our beautifier. And the awesome thing about the gospel is that with the gospel, we don't have to apply a filter on ourselves before we see God. And that's kind of the sense we got to get our act together before coming to God. No, no, no. God accepts us right where we are. And if we give our lives to him, he will take our lives, he'll restore us, redeem us, and allow us to go about the whole work of restoring and redeeming whatever we're doing, including technology, and making a positive impact in the lives of those around us. Amen? God is saying, give me your devices. Give me your social platforms. Let me help you use them in ways that inspires people and gives glory to our perfecter, our filter, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So let's create a strategy. Let's engage in technology, and let's connect in a good way, and let's be the tech-wise people of God that God is calling us to be. So as we come to a close, a couple things. To help you on this subject and as we go forward, as you walk out, exit here, either here or there. There's going to be people that are going to have a tracking sheet, okay? The whole idea of the tracking sheet is for you, and this is for all ages, is to just record throughout the week, over the next 3 weeks, your usage of social media, your usage of, you know, laptops and smartphones. And the key piece to it is really, you know, towards the bottom where I want you to observe how you're feeling, especially as you use social media. Observe your feelings, you know, what it's causing, creating, etc. And just use this as a tool for you over the next couple weeks so that when you come back 3 weeks from now, we can create a strategy, your best strategy for how to manage this going forward. Now, for those online, or if you don't get one when you walk out, this will be available at on our website, so you can download the form and you can use it. But let's be this tech-wise people of God. Amen. Longer to the end of this. You'll be able to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, you have created this world for good. You've created it for good, but it's been marred by sin, and we see sin infecting a lot of things, including technology and how it impacts human beings. But you've given us a creative ability. You've called us to be your image bearers, to create just like you, to oversee, to govern, to promote good living. And so when it comes to these things, Father, we pray for wisdom. We confess our sin and anything that's holding us back. But we pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to start using these things and tools in an even better way than what we've used in the past. Father, help us to embrace technology, not run from it, but help us use it to be a tool for good. Help us to wake up. That's the title of the message, wake up. Help us to be woke. Help us to be woke to these things, Father, so that we're not just reacting to them, but we're living into what you called us to be as redeemed people, so that we can go about the work redeeming this world and promoting who you are through these social networks and these electronic devices. So, Father God, we give you our hearts, we give you our minds, we give you our souls, we give you all that we're focused on here. And Lord, when it comes to technology, and may we use it for your glory. And all of God's people said, amen.